Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Guys, welcome to the show because this show is for you and about you. Those of you who work so hard for your money and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you now. You want that freedom. You want the cash flow, that prosperity today, not 30 or 40 bazillion years from now, but right now. So you have that life that you love, doing what you love with those that you love. But guys, more importantly, it's about what kind of ripple effect can you create in the lives of others, whether it be your family, your community, or across the planet. And guys, thank you so much for allowing me to create that ripple effect through you, because I love hearing the stories you guys have. I love hearing how you guys are taking action and using this to better your life and create freedom for yourself. As a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's great blogs in there. And remember to check out our YouTube, subscribe to our page, the Chris Miles with Money Ripples show. You can actually watch it video as well. So you can see what kind of t-shirts I'm wearing, I guess, or what flamingos I have in the background, all that kind of crap. So anyways, check it out, guys. Hey, are you looking for another great podcast to listen to? One about investing and not only just investing, but learning about cool deals like investing in apartments that does not require you to have to be an accredited investor or have $1 million. Hey, if you want to check that out, go check out my friend Lane Kawaoka's site, simplepassivecashflow.com. He's got a great podcast also called Simple Passive Cashflow that you can check out on YouTube, iTunes, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. If you want some great education and to learn about great ways to invest in other types of deals without, again, needing a ton of money, check it out, simplepassivecashflow.com, or look up Simple Passive Cashflow on YouTube or your podcast app. Check it out. All right, today, so I've got a special guest here that I'm super excited to discuss with you guys, because this is kind of the forefront of opportunities I see coming with the investment world. Because I know many of you are saying, Chris, is it really good to do any investing? And especially in real estate, is now really the time? And if it is, where is that opportunity? Well, guys, here's one possible place for you as well. So my guest here is Josh McAllen. Now, Josh is a turnaround expert and resort rehab specialist. He works in multifaceted industries with luxury, residential, hospitality, and real estate projects. In the last 20 years, he's led projects that have generated well over $100 million in revenue in just those industries. He also served as president of a 400-plus person hotel development and management company and built numerous businesses and brands. He conducts all of his projects and operations with high caliber leadership, energy, and expertise, has a great supportive community. And that's part of this as well, even kind of like his own mastermind. That's a part of this too. He's very laser focused in just getting that best results along with getting that genuine service. He's a co-founder of Accountable Equity. We'll talk about here today. And especially what we're talking about here, on top of the fact he's got a great podcast as well with Capital Hacking. You want to check that out. We're going to be talking about, are hotels or resorts the way to go right now? And where's that opportunity? When is it going to be? Because we already know the hotel industry is suffering. So we're going to talk to Josh about that. Maybe fire a few interesting, challenging questions on, is this even really the time to be looking at something like that? So Josh, welcome to our show.
Wow. I am honored to be on Money Ripples. I just think the culture that you're building in your community aligns with our heart, man. It's all about those ripples, right? And there's another meaning of those ripples, is that when you're making money in one vertical, it can ripple into other efficient uses of your capital. And that's where, by the way, probably from guys like you is where I got the name Capital Hacking for our show. So well done, my friend. Well done. I'm so proud to be on the show.
Absolutely, man. So what even got you down this path? Because this is not the typical path people are going to take in real estate investing. This is a very niched industry for you.
Yeah, there is a whole big backstory. And for those of you who may have met us before, we've been on the Bigger Pockets business show, and where they deep dive into our culture and our heart. Mm-hmm. And that was like the, of all those cool business shows, you would love this, Chris. They really took the softer side of business with me there. They like pushed, how do I do what we do? So I'll spare you, but basically our culture of all the work we do in resorts and what we do through capital, we work with accountable equity investors. We call it accountable equity. Is focused on the infinite dignity and worth of each person. And the word hospitality, though we do various businesses, including construction, including hospitality, including capital, is the heart of how we look at the work and the responsibility. Because I think hospitality, it really, it shows that you are there for the other person. So my point is we got into this through a side door, you know, very much like money ripples. We've rippled our way into this one. We found a path through, actually, I was an MBA person, came back from Europe, worked for 4 years in Europe in a beautiful little resort in the Austrian Alps, kind of like where Maria von Trapp would have been singing on the hills. And when I got home to America, my lovely wife and I had three kids, and we had no real network in America anymore because we had been gone for so long. So I ended up getting into business through the idea of pitching land developers on how to present their assets to sell more quickly. It was the boom days of 05, 06. And so I kind of got in that way through the entrepreneurial angle. And then once I got in the door with land developers, I earned my stripes as a builder, actually. But even though that was kind of sideways, you know, I wasn't a builder originally. Those were the boom days, man. Everybody with a truck could be a contractor. So why not a guy with an MBA become a contractor and just attack it to help that gentleman make as much money as possible? And then through a series of events, we moved from houses to restoring dilapidated resorts. And then from that, the recession started. And I'm sorry, that was actually during the recession. So from that, we built an expertise, national exposure on some of the resorts we've done. And at the end of the day, we found our calling, man. Our calling is to deliver that, what we call Viva May, or that reviving the soul of hospitality.
Yeah.
By treating people with great respect.
I love it. So go deeper on that. Like, really feel that passion for you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. You caught something there, and I'm sensitive to the time because you got Money Ripple's audience is famous, actually, and you guys are super efficient. So I want to be quick, but I'm also tempted to tell you the heart of the heart. The heart of the heart is this. We thought of ourselves as land developers after we had several years of success, then the recession. Of course, we all took a pause. And this 2012, we developed a concept with my first hospitality company of a land development strategy first, which means buy something. We're here near New York, near DC, and we have a lot of wealth. And when you talk about the coastal line here, it's seasonal, but in the season, it is ridiculously expensive. I mean, $800 a room night is common at a good hotel, down to like $400, $300 to a bad hotel.
Right.
So the pressure, because there's so many of us people, is high on these rooms. But the quality of service is below zero, below par. And the quality of the cleanliness was all very bad because they're only open 3 months a year sometimes. There's such a, such a challenging business. Well, we were owners of a few of the, he was an owner, a very wealthy, high net worth partner who I, at the time, earned my role as a sweat equity partner. He owned one that was slated to be torn down in 07, 08. He kept it during the recession. And by 2012, it was sucking wind, right? It was barely paying its electric bill, and he hated it. And he said, what would you do if you were me? And I said, well, you're upside down by $4 million on what you paid for it because you bought at the peak and now we're in the bottom.
Yeah.
If it was me, I'd take my lumps and lose the $4 million. You'd still get a lot of money out of it and move on to the things you're passionate about. Or, and I'm going to say this Michael Gerber strategy. You know who Michael Gerber is?
Yeah,
from the E-Myth. I said, or we look at this as an opportunity for a franchise prototype. And we take your piece of junk hotel on the beach, beautiful beach, terrible building, and we transform it into what the entire Northeast of America needs, which is a restoration of 40-year-old resorts.
Yeah.
And we do it in such a way that we are building a paradigm for future acquisitions. Even though we're saving your butt on this one, we're using it, right, to create a company, the Money Ripple. And so he bought in on that strategy. We invested a lot of money, $8 million more.
Wow.
And we came to market with the belle of the ball, the most beautiful new resort. Actually, it was, again, the bones were old. So it was built in the 60s, 70s. So it looked like a James Bond movie or something. But of course, it looked like South Beach, Miami is what it looked like on a real scaled down version of quality and everything. But so we made it look like that again in modern era, white and wood mahogany accents and pretty trendy. Trendy mid-century. And we, everybody said we're so beautiful, so pretty. But when we opened the doors, I had submitted the management over to a, one of these certified third-party managers from Marriott. And I said, you guys run it. We'll fix it up and we'll do 100 of these. Well, they miscalculated. They weren't Marriott. They were just certified for Marriott, but they miscalculated how different it is to turn a property around called a resort and to turn one around that's seasonal, even more challenging, to the point where the F word was a common expression at the front desk about how mad guests were at us. So we're the prettiest place in town and the angriest guests in town. And it was all based on functional mistakes by our, you know, our staff was doing all kinds of mistakes, like not having rooms ready for people when they arrived, all kinds of different operational challenges.
Yeah.
All related to not being able to staff during the peak season. And let me just put it this way, good old fashioned breakdowns.
Yeah.
But what we observed during that period was gut wrenching because I had put my heart into it. It was a strategy I thought I would build my future on. And so I just basically stepped into the breach with a group of people and we said, can we build our own management company? And the group of us did. Mm-hmm. And 3 years later, I'm proud to say, and this is shockingly documented on LinkedIn with us, we became the seventh ranked American hotel in the entire country out of 55,000. And it was by one simple principle, and that is loving the guests. And I always say loving them like a mother loves them, not like Kim Kardashian loves perfume.
Even beyond Four Seasons love, right?
Yeah. And we knew we weren't as good as Four Seasons, but what we picked up from the Four Seasons model or the Ritz-Carlton model is to cherish each guest.
Yeah.
So even if we were slow at cooking some nights, because in this business, we were going from 4% occupancy, right, in the winter to 20% occupancy in May to 100% in June, July, August, and then like it just goes from nothing to a crush.
Yeah.
And I will admit to you that that is brutally challenging to staff up and change. So what we did is we devoted our whole company to a training and training on the dignity of each person and the way we can cherish them. And we came up with different expressions and training tools. And here's the thing we're proud of. Not only did we become the seventh ranked hotel, got a plaque on the wall from TripAdvisor. We were in the Wall Street Journal. That means we beat every single Hilton, Marriott, and Four Seasons as far as national rankings.
Yeah.
We were up there with $100 and $200 million resorts, and we were all in $20 million had been invested. So how did we transport to such a high level of love?
Right.
And it was just, it's on the way you treat somebody. So hospitality has this magical power that if the building is good to above good, you can become the greatest if you change the way you treat somebody. So, for example, we worked at, no matter what, we have things like, we have trainings like, in general, we have one funny one that you'll love. And that is everybody, these are simple, but remember our staff are young people. So we say things like this. You need to always be carrying and wearing your RSF. And you've probably heard the joke on TV, the RBF is when a person has a very grumpy face, the RBF face. Yeah. Our staff has to have a resting smile face. And that's a trigger for the guest to be able to ask us anything. And we just go over and above and we have a whole training on that. And we say now it comes down to this principle. We teach the same principle every week to every staff. We encourage them not to work there unless they agree with these three principles. You ready?
Yep.
This is the end of my soft speech, right? Then we'll get into the hard money speech.
Sure.
Number one, we love you. We think you're a great sales director. We think you're a great front desk person. We think you might be a great cook. But it doesn't really matter. The core of what we're doing here is our culture, and it's about reviving the soul. So do you believe or agree with these three core values? If you do, this will probably be the best place you've ever worked. You'll have a great time. We'll cheer you on if you get other opportunities, but you'll be treasured while you're here. But if not, don't join us. Number one, we live by joy of service, humility of heart, and ministry in our mindset. So to simplify it, the three characters are joy, humility, and ministry.
Yeah.
And we explain all that. And we say, if that's how you want to operate every day, and if you want to vibrate and vibe on that level, come join the team because it's really uplifting as a person. Mm-hmm. And obviously it transforms the guest experience to world-class.
Man, now I want to go there and stay.
On this computer rendering, you're seeing our front lobby. So we kind of fix them up to a very nice mid-high level, maybe like above a Hyatt. Mm-hmm. But then you get treated above a Ritz-Carlton. So it's a really nice emotional connection at our resorts.
Like a 7-star experience, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Well, cool. Well, tell me like, what are the things you're working on now? Cause I know you showed me one before we went on the air. Like there's some pretty nice resorts you've got going, right?
Yeah. Yeah. COVID has been a blessing for us. And that's going to shock you when I say that. One was our whole model is built on the fact that we are resorts, not hotels. And these are technical things I don't want to bore your audience, but in simple terms, you think of a hotel, you probably think of like a Holiday Inn or Hampton Inn on the side of the highway. Really great. They can be run beautifully. You can enjoy your sleep there. But the only reason you're going there is for the bed, right? That's right. What I would call a hotel. But a resort, you might be going there for a life event, like a wedding. You might be going there for a five-day vacation. Or the resort itself is the vacation, like golf courses and pools or beaches. So we live on that side of the equation, which might sound more complicated, but we argue it provides the most wealth growth for us and our investors, because as long as we know how to operate those amenities will drive profitability.
Yeah.
And they will allow you and I to strategize on our level of occupancy and profitability. Mm-hmm. Whereas Holiday Inn and Hampton Inn on the side of the highway will be full a lot of the year, but it's based on whatever's happening in a 5 to 10 mile radius. So if there's a convention, you can charge more. If there's nothing going on, like in COVID, there's nothing going on at the Holiday Inns, they might be at 10% occupied because there's no conventions. There's nothing.
Right.
But at our resort, we're now allowed to have COVIDly safe weddings. We're allowed to do all these kinds of things because we have thousands of capacity for indoors and hundreds of thousands of capacity for outdoors. We're very big. We're like 200 acres, golf courses, historic wineries. We're big. Yeah. So we're having weddings again in COVID compliance. And because of that, it's selling out our hotel at a premium, hundreds of dollars more than we've ever charged before. Because now that we're renovated, now that we have so many weddings, now that we have so much outdoor dining and so much wine club membership activity, we're driving our own demand and we're doing it all in a COVID compliant way. We're experiencing a growth that we never thought we could.
Yeah. Now, you brought up COVID, right? And you brought up the current market and people are wondering, is now really the time to invest in resorts? Because if we go into recession, people think, of course, like the things that are the extras, right?
Yes.
The things that aren't needs, the wants, those things are the ones that get cut the first at the beginning, right? So why would this model still work even in this environment?
Yeah. Well, lots of thoughts here. The number one thing is you're right. Wants are more important than needs for a down economy. One thing that's been surprising to me over the last 5 to 10 years is just how vital weddings are to people's psyche. You know, I don't know. It's a little different than even 25 years ago when I got married. Actually, technically 24. But weddings to me then were all about us getting married. But now it's much more of a social event. And they are vital to not only the couple, the family, the community, to their friends. They're part of our life right now as a country. So we are experiencing tremendous growth in weddings during Corona.
Yeah.
And I think the recession kind of has already started. So I think we're already experiencing this kind of malaise on cash flow. And yet our weddings are up over 70% year over year during the same weeks as COVID. And I can't tell you more than the fact that we are a premium. If you're getting married on the East Coast, you want to get married here. It's perfect. Yeah. We do a great job. It's gorgeous. Our prices are middle class. And those are our tricks. Our secrets are we build the best venues, but we charge the middle rate. That's a great recessionary resistancy.
Yeah.
We do attract people from bigger metropolitan areas like New York and Philly, which means, yes, there will be a recession, but there will still be a fringe of us that have enough cash flow to live out the rest of our lives. And middle class people, if we price to the middle, obviously you can have a world-class wedding here, but if we price to the middle and budget to the middle, then we can sell into the recession. And that's what we do. The last thing I'll say about our model is different than, I don't know anybody who's thinking the way we're thinking. Mm-hmm. We're not a wedding business, but we benefit from weddings.
Yeah.
We're a resort business that benefits from weddings from the year 2022, which we already have the money for right now.
Right.
2020. If you can just close your eyes and just pretend like I was a manufacturing company that had already sold out every bit of material for 2021 that we were going to make, which we've done. And if I'm almost completely sold out of 2022, you'd be like, that's a good production company. And if I told you I had most of the money in the bank already, you'd be like, I'll invest in that company.
Right.
Well, that's the way our model works. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. When you get like you said, it's about the amenities, right? It's about what you can offer in addition to just the property itself. It's not just a place you're going to go to sleep. It's a place you're going to go stay. And I'm thinking from my own brain as well of this last year, I wanted to escape. Right. It's like, just get away from people. Not that I care about getting sick, but it's more like, I just want to get away from the craziness of people right now. Right. Like just to escape. And that's kind of what a resort gives you.
Yeah. And our resorts are expansive and we have, I mean, literally our outdoor restaurant's 4.5 acres long.
Yeah.
And tables are spread out and you feel like you're by yourself, but not to get into the weeds, but just to stay in the 30,000 foot view.
Yeah.
we feel that somehow we were built for this opportunity because our whole model is meant to do turnaround resorts, not stabilized resorts, but things that are struggling bad.
Right.
So we're in the biggest surge of capital raising we've ever done is going on right now. Mm-hmm. People recognize that Warren Buffett principle of buy when everyone's scared and be scared when everyone's greedy, or fearful and greedy are his two expressions. But you know, no one wants what we are the best at in the world right now. So we are going to buy right now.
Yeah.
At historically, maybe even generationally low valuations, because our model is a 5-year turnaround anyway. I hate to say it, but that's almost perfect built for a recession. Yeah. We're going to buy now, do our renovation construction, sell using 3D rendering. So we're only going to buy assets there where we have large pipelines of advanced sales clients like Brides. If we see that, and you can see that on the internet, it's like a part of your due diligence. So the next one we're buying is in a historically incredibly good asset location outside of DC, on the water near Annapolis. So we all know the real estate value is going to hold.
Yeah.
And yet they're getting 1,200 women that want to have their wedding there each year. Wow. And they're only selling 25. That tells you there's a sales process breakdown.
Right.
And there's probably a functional obsolescence in what they're trying to sell, right? Something's wrong with it. So we go in and we fix both things, the business and the physicality. And of course, we throw the service in there, but you fix those and you can actually dial up assumptions on, if I keep my assumptions low, like instead of 80% occupied, we'll take 45.
Sure.
Instead of selling the wedding out at $250, which our neighbors get, we'll sell it out at 150. And if you do all those conservative dials right now, but you're getting all the leads and you're selling better than the next ladies, you're going to close. And we're going to build the revenue for 2023 for that property. And the last hack and the last money ripple is this. When you take the money from the future now, not only does it secure your balance sheet, secures the asset for the investor, it also allows you to offset other capital sources, right? You can run your turnaround program self-funded.
Yeah.
And that is cool. Those are for those geeky business people like us that are out there like, how do you capitalize a turnaround? Well, what if the business is capitalizing a strategic turnaround while you're using the investor's money to change the valuation of their dirt? It's like you're adding multiple levels of security to the investor's capital investment.
Well, especially when you have multiple revenue streams, you talk about leasing and things like that before we went on the air. I mean, there's a lot of things you can add to it, right? To kind of insulate this kind of investment.
Yeah. And so that's it. We are going into this eyes wide open. We are getting the word out that we're buyers and investors that are here for a 5-year turnaround plan are going to have great wealth building opportunities with us. Oh, and you and I joked about it. Accountable equity is, it's like a community. That's why we call it an investor community where we do these masterminds together. We got to get you out as a keynote. And we do education days quarterly for our investors in person at the resorts that they own. I mean, it's kind of a powerful education tool, isn't it, Chris?
What better than just to say, hey, why don't you just go on site? You know, you're going to see what you're invested in. In fact, you're going to stay there and see how you get treated. I love that.
That's exactly how we encourage the person who's a really good due diligence person. The coolest thing about buying into resorts is you could actually go stay there and see how we run the place.
Better than a timeshare, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. This is good. It's a really cool money-making opportunity for people. But, and of course, you and I know about Main Street investing. The biggest difference, and I know you and I see eye to eye on this compared to Wall Street. At Main Street, you, so say you're a $100,000 investor with us, or as little as a $50,000. You think, well, I could have put that in Wall Street. But when you show up and you see we hired Jen and we hired Bill's family, and they're grateful and they can't wait to talk to you about their new opportunities, you start to realize you're like one step away from creating that opportunity for that family.
Yeah.
It's not like if you and I invest in Amazon, we're like 1,000 steps away from helping any one family.
We don't even invest in Amazon. We're just investing in paper that's reflecting Amazon's value.
Exactly. And whereas that 50 grand, which could have been a nice position in a stock, is truly changing families' lives here. I love. Right. We appreciate that. And it's very tangible. You get to meet the people when you come to stay with us.
Yeah. Oh, I love it, man. And do they have to be accredited investors to invest with you? It can be non-accredited?
Great question. Yeah. We always do accredited for these big, big funds, which right now, everything we've described has been accredited so far. We do have, our community is open to anyone though. So our community doesn't necessarily mean you've invested. We have an education portion. we are building relationships with sophisticated people. Mm-hmm. And we are contemplating a method to help them invest in stuff that we are related to. Mm-hmm. But because of the promotion rules and being on these famous podcasts, like with guys like you, yeah, we do need to have the SEEK registered as a credit investor.
Yeah, it makes sense. Now, given that, again, we never say there's any guarantees. We never say you should take any investment advice from this show or anything like that, right? But I mean, given some of the deals you've done, like what kind of returns have you seen doing these type of properties?
Yeah, I'll give you two case studies. And this is the epiphany. So there's, you and I joked about Wall Street. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, this is retail investors, so people can come in and see it.
Yeah.
Before I did it this way, we worked with very, very wealthy families, like the highest net worth families in the country. Yeah. And I was the president of their company. And so to give you a couple case studies, the best way to do that would be an actual case study. So on one property we invested, let me tell you how this worked. The magic was in the refinance, to be honest with you. The recapitalization very efficiently allows for the cash flow plus your capital back. And that's the strategy we use at our company.
Yeah.
So we invested in the one at $8 million, put $8 million more. That's $16 million in. Within 3.5 years, it appraised for $37 million. And that's one property, $16 million invested to $37 million valuation.
Wow.
We then refinanced it. I think it took $25 million. So mm-hmm. he had about $9 million or so in cash back on the project that he was fully recapitalized with a $9 million dollar yield and then owned the asset for the rest of his life too, right? So that's the same model as you and I've heard of on Bigger Pockets called the Burr strategy. And that's the way we do it here. Now, that was a great yield on a distressed asset. We don't promise those types of things to our funds. We do know that we're capable of that. We did it two more times with that partner. And that was the proving ground that allowed us to go out and go right to retail partners on my own with great people around us, of course, mm-hmm. and bring this same kind of lucrative deal straight to the families.
Wow. Love it. Awesome. So Josh, this has been excellent. And I know we could go on forever about this. What if people want to either follow you or actually understand more about the kind of deals that you have, how would they do that?
Well, everything's non-threatening. I mean, the best thing is Melanie and I have a beautiful wife. We have 10 children, by the way, Chris.
You got me. Holy cow.
How many you got, Chris?
We got a blended family. I've got 6. My wife has 2. So we have 8 together.
8. Well, there you go. So if you want to get to know us, I always say maybe come to one of those events I just talked about. We call them Learn and Grows. No real threat. You just pay for the food. It's extremely affordable. And you don't even have to be an investor yet. You could be checking us out. So I would hit the website Accountable Equity, like you think it sounds, mm-hmm. accountableequity.com. That'll have a good little video on us, but it'll also tell you how to come to the next Learn and Grow. They're quarterly, so they're happening all the time.
Perfect.
And of course, you and I are going to be together on the Capital Hacking Podcast very soon, Capital Hacking.
Yes.
So look for Chris Miles' show in a few weeks.
Awesome, man. Appreciate it so much. Again, this is great stuff, and it's got me excited. It makes me want to go on vacation right now, so I love it.
Great to meet you, Chris.
You bet. Hey, everybody else, again, it's not just about hearing this stuff. It's about how you take action and make it change your life. And guys, that's exactly what we're challenging you to do here is not just be a listener, but a doer of the word as well. So guys, make it a wonderful and prosperous week, and we'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.